Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast, and I appreciate you stopping by and listening today. It's a fine Monday morning here in Florida, and if you've still got turkey season going where you're at, best of luck to you getting out this week. Hope you get it done. Let me know if you do. Just tag me on Instagram or shoot me a picture on there. I certainly would love to congratulate you if you get the job done out there, but it's been a good spring for us, and we're thankful to have another great episode today. I'm happy to be joined by Ernie Edwards of Head Busta Turkey Calls, the part-timers hunting on Mossy Oak Go, and you can catch their stuff, I believe, on YouTube as well, so check out the links in the description, and certainly appreciate you joining in today and listening. I hope you have an awesome week, whether you're working or on vacation or hunting. I hope you have a great week, and hope you enjoy this one with Ernie. I always love catching up with him and seeing what he's got going on. He does some cool stuff, building calls, filming hunts, guiding hunts, doing some work with veterans and things like that, and he talks about it on the episode, and tells a really cool story about his son Knox's first turkey, so you don't want to miss that. So stay tuned for this episode. Thanks again for the support. Thanks again for listening. We certainly appreciate it. Hope y'all enjoy this one and have a great week. Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. We are glad to be joined today by Ernie Edwards of Head Busta Turkey Calls and the Part-Timers Hunting. And we appreciate Ernie coming on this evening. He came on either early turkey season or right before turkey season. And so we're checking in today to kind of get a little update as to how things went for him over there. And how's it going tonight, Ernie?
What's going on, Amos? Glad to be back. Thank you for having me. Hope you've been doing all right since turkey season's over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've been hanging in there. Kind of letting the mind wander toward deer season and fall and all that good stuff. But like you were just saying kind of before we started recording, you know, there are some guys just cranking up out west. So there's still turkeys to be had out there.
Yeah, they're driving me crazy, man. I want to go out there so bad. And got some guys sending me some photos, and just the birds just cooperating and doing what they're supposed to do. And man, they're pretty white tip feathers, and it's gotten me wanting to go out there bad.
No doubt about it, man. My mind is always wandering for some out of state stuff. You know, a lot of people try to come to Florida where we are and get an Osceola, but for those of us who live here, it's hard not to think about extending the old season and heading out there one time.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. Yeah, I'm kind of gearing up towards deer season already, but I believe the little piece that I've hunted the last couple of years is sold. So I don't think I'm going to get the deer hunted this year. So I'm going to postpone the old subscription on the covert cell camera, because there's no need in paying $10 a month for it to be sitting in my garage. So I'm trying to figure out what my next step is going to be for deer season this year.
I gotcha. Yeah, that always stinks, you know, sometimes with a lease, you know, gets sold or something happens with it, you know, they log it or whatever, you know, it can kind of throw you off, but there's always plans B, C, and D.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, you mentioned a minute ago, jumping back to turkeys, you know, you got some pictures and stuff from guys out a little further west talking about turkeys cooperating with them. They weren't the most cooperative down our way this year. At least that's kind of what I'm hearing. How'd it go for you?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, man. That it's been a really weird year, and I'm sure there's some scientific explanations for it. My unexperienced guess is, you know, in 2020 when COVID first hit, everybody was working from home, schools were shut down, and I mean, we have some around my neck of the woods, we have some turkey killers, man, and some kids that are very good, and shoot, they were out of school the entire season. And so, you know, there was a lot. I know there was a lot of turkeys killed, you know, in the surrounding counties. that normally, you know, I'm not going to say they probably wouldn't get killed, but they got killed fast. So I think that that kind of messed up some of the breeding cycles. And, you know, maybe some of those hens didn't get bred in 2020, which could have been the cause for our quiet year. There wasn't very many two-year-olds gobbling their heads off. So, like I said, that's just kind of my unexperienced guesstimation.
Yeah, maybe that was it. It's it was interesting. I heard I had one gobbling his head off second to last day of season, and that was the first time I'd heard a gobble. So it was kind of interesting for me.
Yeah, it's really crazy, man. I mean, some people, they get gobbled out and they just don't care, and that could be the case, you know, in some places. And I know everywhere is different, but I've killed birds on the last afternoon that acted like it was the first morning of turkey season, you know, and I've had them just come to the strutter and blow him down at the last day or the last 2 days of the season, you know, where some guys, the turkey, even in the same county, you know, they're already grouped back up together and they don't care one bit about a hen or a call or anything. They're just kind of back together hanging out. So it's definitely weird. This year was the first year that I didn't get all depressed and, oh, the turkeys aren't acting the same. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. I've come to the conclusion that they're just weird, and we have an illusion that they're supposed to work a certain way. And when they don't work that way, we get all, you know, down in the dumps. So my the way I look at it is just they're just turkeys. You just got to go. You just got to hunt.
Yeah, I totally agree, you know, and I haven't been hunting them that long, but I've, you know, what I learned this year is you might hear them gobble every time you go hunting 3 years in a row, and you might go to the same spots, you know, similar times, you know, obviously same season, same time of the year, and you might not hear them, you know, and there's kind of like you alluded to, you know, there's 1,000 different reasons why you might not hear them, but they're turkeys, they're wild animals, and they don't have to do what you want them to, or else we'd have a whole lot more in the freezer and on the wall.
Yeah, no doubt. God keeps them a step ahead no matter what kind of technology, you know, that we get. God gives them one little step on top of us. I know, you know, this is not turkey hunting, but this is back to the old dog hunting days when my dad was coming up. Mm-hmm. When CB radios first came out, there was people, oh, man, y'all are going to wipe the deer population out. Now, this isn't even fair. This is just... oh, you're just going to kill them all now that you can communicate with each other. And now I look at them, we have, you know, 15-inch drive track screens in their trucks with GPS collars and, you know, all the technology that you could get. And the deer are still just as hard to kill. And they get away just as easy. A lot of it's because people are just looking down at their GPS or their screens in their trucks when they should be looking down the road. But God always gives them one step above, no matter what kind of technology we have, man. It's awesome.
Yep. I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, I've run cameras. I've got a rifle that can shoot, you know, however many hundreds of yards and, you know, scent control and cover scents and whatever, you know, camouflage that I think is pretty stinking good. And I have a hard enough time killing anything, so I'm with you. They've got a little something from God that keeps them a step ahead of me anyway.
That's for sure. Talking back to the turkey point being weird, this year I had a camera, well, shucks, it's been on the same tree since June of last year, but I just was, you know, refilling the batteries every so often. But I had a hen, and you probably saw it on Instagram. I had a hen following a bobcat down the road. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of people, you know, oh, yeah, she's got a nest, and she could have, but that particular hen had, like, really red legs, like, mm-hmm. noticeably red legs. And the hen that had biddies, it was definitely not her. But it was just weird that hen was just kind of following that bobcat, like, yeah, get on out of here. I don't want you around here. You know, maybe she was, you know, kind of protected. Maybe that was her sister or aunt or something with the biddies. But it's weird because that same property about a mile from there, the last weekend, a guy was, he pulled in the gate and pulled around the curve. It was a deer, a turkey, and a bobcat. And you could have thrown a cast net over top of all of them. Mm. They were just like having a powwow, plotting against hunters, I guess.
That's weird. That's weird. But I'm with you.
And it was like 2 or 3 days after Dr. Mike Chamberlain had posted the post with the coyote interaction with the gobblers.
Yep.
And so it's like, wow, that's pretty crazy. He's posting that, you know, having gobblers in the same photo as coyotes, and I'm seeing this with bobcats. And like 20 years ago, I was hunting down in Barberville, and I was working a bird down across this field. He had a few hens with him, and there was 5 or 6 big bucks. And of course, they're in velvet, but they're big, mature bucks, and all in a pasture. And a big alpha male coyote came right past, like between me and the turkeys, and the gobbler barely came out of strut and just looked at him. And the coyote came up. He was coming to me, and then he winded me, and he ran right back by the turkeys. And the hens never kept, they never quit, like, feeding around and doing their thing. And the gobbler, never, his head never changed. He never came out of strut, the full, you know, full strut. And he just, as soon as he got 30 yards from him, he went back to gobbling like he was never there.
That's crazy.
So just kind of, it's just kind of weird how they all interact, you know. I'm sure they'll eat each other, you know, or a coyote would eat him if he got the chance, but it just doesn't seem like it's always on their mind to kill him.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's just one of those things that you wouldn't think, you know. I mean, it just, your mind, you just wouldn't assume that, you know. Yeah. You'd think they'd take off immediately or whatever, you know, or the coyote would go after him. I know I was talking to a guy, I think I was messaging a guy on Instagram about, you know, the coyotes and stuff maybe being the reason we weren't hearing as much goblin or whatever, you know. I was like, yeah, this seems like a decent enough theory to me. And then, you know, like a day later, you know, Dr. Chamberlain posted that, and I was like, well, I guess I don't know as much as I thought, but.
Yeah. I've definitely heard it, you know, growing up, that that's why turkeys aren't gobbling. And it, I mean, heck, it makes perfect sense, you know?
You know.
Perfect sense. It's just one of those things we probably won't ever know.
Yep, you're right about that. We'll add that to the list. Anyway, man, I appreciate you taking some time this evening. I wanted to kind of ask you to tell me how your season went. I saw, you know, some of the things you were posting and, you know, kind of keeping up with it. Sounded like it ended up being a good season, despite, you know, we're talking about how weird it was, kind of an odd season and some strange things, but you know, y'all still got some birds down. I wanted to ask you to kind of relay the story a little bit. Your son killed his first turkey, right?
Yeah, he did. He got him.
That's awesome.
Got him a nice gobbler this year. He was 5. My son was 5. The turkey was who knows how old, but he's not going to get any older now. But yeah, I've got a little small tract of land that I hunt, and had there's probably 5 or 6 gobblers on it before the season, and through the first, not the first couple of days, there was some hunters come down, and they hunted with a local here, and I think there was 6 of them in between. I think they all tagged out. I think 6 or 7 of them tagged out, and 2 or 3 of the birds that they killed were turkeys that we could hunt. So I was a nervous wreck the second day. I actually, I didn't really guide for those guys, but I filmed them, and I filmed them killing 2 birds on another location. And I was a nervous wreck asking them, hey, did y'all kill off of this farm? Did y'all kill off this farm? How many did y'all kill? Cause I wanted Knox to get one so bad before those guys got them all. Mm-hmm. And I checked the cameras at like 4:30 that I think he killed it on Monday morning is when he killed his turkey, the first Monday of the season. So Monday, mm-hmm. I woke up at like 4 and I went and checked my cameras, and sure enough, I had that bird walking by it, going to like a pasture in the back of the property. And so I was like, we got to go this afternoon after work. So I loaded him and my little girl up, which is she's 2. And we went to the blind, and it was just, I mean, it was just all from God, man, to have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old in a ground blind and managed to strike a bird and called the hens to us. And he came strutting right across the pasture and right into the oaks. And he didn't really want to fight the strutter, nephew Tommy. He was kind of, he was kind of like, you know, agitated that there was a strutter in his zone, but mm-hmm. it was like he wanted to just talk it over with him. You know, he didn't want to just smoke his head. It's so weird. And yeah, so we went back and forth. I was trying to get him to, you know, get him to shoot him. And I mean, heck, I've never coached a 5-year-old on a turkey before, so I know I have plenty of room to improve. But it was just awesome, man. He finally pulled the trigger and he shot him a little low, and the turkey kind of rolled up and tore out, and I bailed out the blind, and he didn't go 20 yards and he died right there. So there wasn't a whole lot of chasing, and he was so happy. I was so tired. I was so like out of breath. I couldn't even cry because I was so happy and so out of breath, and I wanted to cry. And he was just so pumped up. I had a GoPro in the blind. You can see it in the video. And he was, gosh, man, he's just so excited.
Oh yeah.
It was worth $1 million.
That's fantastic, man. I already watched the video, and it was pretty awesome. It was a lot of fun. And but you're right. He kind of acted right, and then he didn't act like he really wanted to come in and do much. You know, he kind of hung out a little bit in the thick stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy too, because I mean, he was. I would have thought he was the dominant turkey. I'm pretty sure it was a turkey that I called Chucklehead, which I kind of explained that in the video, but I'm 90% sure it was him. And he had a very nice beard on him, really close to 11 inches, I would guess. But that Rogue Ammunition gave it a haircut, and I'm holding it right now. It's about 6 inches with a couple long strands, about 9.5. He put the whole load right in his chest. I don't care, though. He got him. That's all that matters.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've got my daughter's 3, and my son, or almost 3, and my son is 1. So, you know, here in a little bit, we'll be kind of looking into all that good stuff. But, you know, you love seeing the kids get out there and, you know, get introduced to it and have a lot of fun. Kind of see what it's all about.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. One of the my buddy on the part timers, Jacob Kelly, his son Hoyt, he killed which it was the second turkey. He killed a bird last year, but he killed one this year, and it was put on a show, man. He put on a show. I don't know how that little boy held that gun on him like he did and put a good shot on him, because I don't even think he had a tripod. I think he might have just been holding it off of his knee, because I had mine for Knox's turkey. I had it in a bog death grip, and those things are just phenomenal, man. Like they hold it locked in for him, and all he has to do is just stand up and put his hands on it and pull the trigger. I love it. But yeah, Hoyt, he smoked that turkey, and the turkey was like a boxer, man. I've never seen one hop around a decoy like that before. He was literally just hopping around boxing that turkey, that decoy. It was awesome.
That's cool, man. I'll have to watch that one too. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
Now, I know y'all, do you do some, is it guiding on like a veteran type hunt or some kind of deal like that you usually do? Do you do that this year?
Yep. So opening morning, all 3 of us, well, Jacob invites Bubba and I to come help up at DDOT for the Seamark Ranch. It's a Christian orphanage in Green Cove. And some of the donors, they get to come turkey hunting up at DDOT opening morning. And I think there was 6 or 7 people this year. Maybe there might have been more. I can't remember. And man, the Lord blesses that hunt every year. And it was awesome. The only thing that kind of stinked is it was over in 5 minutes. And me and the hunter, we were like, oh, we should have just let him strut around for about an hour, man, because now we're done. But it was just a textbook hunt. The bird was roosted like 100 yards off the food plot. I did a fly down cackle. He answered it, and within, I think it was 2 minutes, I think it was, he was in the food plot, just full strut, coming right to the decoy at like 15 yards. And he jumped on Nephew Tommy and roughed him up a little bit, and I tried to make him gobble, and he didn't gobble, and I was so excited. I'm like, just kill him. Boom! And the guy rolled him up, and it was beautiful. Got really good footage of that. I think we all, Bubba was filming Mr. Bill Sugg, the president of Mossy Oak. They were guiding a fella named Brad, and I think they got on the hard one of the hunt. Everybody, every year, somebody gets the hard bird. They found him. They hunted him for, I think, 4 or 5 hours, and then Bubba and I left, and then Jacob went back after him, and they hunted him the rest of the afternoon, and I think the guy ended up killing him that afternoon, but it was...
Wow.
Usually, those turkeys, they cooperate so well. They manage the turkeys so well at that ranch. They kind of divide it up into like 11, 1200 acre blocks. And, you know, each guide kind of gets, you know, a section. Well, they'll only kill 2 turkeys out of a section a year. No matter how many there is, they only kill like 2 out of each section. So there's like a very good chance that if you see a turkey coming to you, he's never seen a decoy set, or at least not as a mature gobbler. You know, he might have seen it as a Jake or something, but, you know, normally like they'll kill one and then they leave, and they'll kill another one later on in the season, and that's it. They don't even go back to that area until, well, I mean, you know, they're working in there and stuff, but as far as hunting, they won't even hunt it until next year. So wow. it's just turkey heaven.
Yeah, that sounds like the place to go if you can swing it.
Yeah, and it's only invite. It's invite only, so it's kind of, you know, not everybody can get to hunt there, and I guess that's why it's so cool. I'm so glad to get to help out and guide there just to see it, because I never in a million years would have been able to, you know, hunt a place like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, like you said, that's why it's so good right there, because everybody and their brother can't go in there trying to work a call that can't, and setting stuff up wrong and all kind of good stuff, probably like I would do.
So and then later on in the year, well, I guess it was like the second weekend, they do a hunt. This year it was an organization called Hope for the Warriors, and they had 4 lady veterans come down and hunt, and I think all 4 of them killed a bird this year. And I had one, I got a chance to hunt with Mr. Jim Coleman, who I think he works at DDOT, or he's just one of their guides and really good friends. And I had the opportunity to hunt with Mr. Paul Butsky. And that was, you know, it was an afternoon hunt, so we didn't get into a lot of calling, but I did get a chance to hear Mr. Paul run that mouse call a few times. And it was crazy to hear him run a call, which he's a 3-time world champion. So. You know, it's pretty amazing to get to hear somebody of that caliber run a mouse call. But that hunt was special too. We were there for probably 20 minutes, 30 minutes tops. And he called that bird down the road and came right in. The hen actually jumped the decoy. He was another one that didn't really get aggressive. He didn't even pop a strut. He was just kind of white headed and came right down the road, right into the food plot. The hen bowed up at the decoy, and she smacked the hen decoy around for a little bit. And the hunter's name was Chastity, and she smoked him at 20 yards, and he was a giant turkey. He had over 1.5 inch spurs and like 11-inch beard. I mean, just a true trophy turkey, man. It was amazing. Wow. Yeah, that was amazing.
That's pretty cool right there. I know, I'm sure that's a really cool experience. And of course, you know, doing anything with Mr. Paul Butsky would be pretty awesome in and of itself. But I'm guessing that lady, she was that her first turkey ever? Or, you know, she's not really a hunter. It was first, kind of somebody.
Yeah, first time. Yep, first time hunting ever. I think she was from New Jersey. Just absolutely loved it, man. She was in the military for, I think, 18.5 years. And that was her first time ever getting to hunt, and I'm sure she'll be back if she gets the opportunity, because she had a blast. And especially with a quick hunt like that, you know, you didn't even have time to get bored yet, you know, in 20 minutes. So that's always nice when you can have a first time or have a good quick hunt like that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That certainly helps. I know I went hunting several times before I, you know, actually got on a bird, but the first turkey I ever killed really acted right. And, you know, that helps get you hooked right there for sure.
Oh yeah. I love easy turkeys.
Yeah.
I love it when they work right. I've been on enough stubborn ones in my day. I don't really, I like a good challenge. Don't get me wrong, but I like them when they work perfect.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's enough hard headed ones out there that, you know, if one comes to you, you better take it. Just be happy.
Yeah, for sure. What about you got your, it was raining pretty bad when you killed your bird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pouring. And down there, I don't know that it's close to the ranch, but it's not too far from there is where I killed that one. And it was pouring that day. And I actually went down in the afternoon and just stood in the barn at, there's a barn like out in the middle of the pasture. I just hung out in there waiting on the rain to kind of break because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do out here. And it was a crazy day because there was like a stray dog like ran past me while I was sitting in the barn. I was like, that's probably not great for the turkeys. And, you know, all kind of good stuff going on. The people there had like some folks come by and visit, and they're like walking around in the backyard, which is only like, you know, a few hundred yards from where I'm quote unquote hunting. So I was like, oh man, this is terrible. So I ended up, you know, just walking back to the house and kind of talking to them for a bit. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna try one more time before I go. So I just kind of set up really by like a log. There's like a log stack on the other side of that barn, and just kind of set up there and did some soft calling, and looked way across the neighbor's field and saw a turkey over there. So I was like, well, I'm staying now. We'll see if anything happens, you know. And I just kind of called him softly, and I honestly didn't know that it was a, you know, I thought it was a hen at first. And when we got closer, I saw how red his head was. And when he stepped across the property line, you know, his beard flopped out. And I was like, well, he's going down. So,
yeah.
He ended up, I think he was, I don't know if he was 2 years old or not. He had like a 6-inch beard.
Yeah.
I wasn't sad about it. I can tell you that.
Oh, heck no. I would have killed a Jake toward the end of the season on that property that we were losing. But he saw nephew Tommy and was like, nope, not having it. He had like 6 or 7 inch beard, but he was like a little turkey. You could tell he was, you know, a little young turkey, but you can't hardly tell about either, man. I've got a bird on camera, the bird that I was hunting on that little lease, and I had him walk right past the camera. It was probably the last, well, I pulled the camera just before the last week of the season. I think I pulled the camera, and, I've had these birds since they were Jake's. So I know they're 2 years old because mm-hmm. I've legit had them from the time they were, you know, hatched out 2 years ago until now. And I know it's the same turkeys. They've got 6-inch beards, and
yep.
The spurs are very close to 1 3/8 to 1.5 inches.
Wow.
I mean, like it's ridiculous. And all the birds, the same, they all have the same size beards. One of them's got beard rot. So he's like 3 inches. But all of them have spurs over 1.25 inches or really close to it. And it's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and that's like with this one. I mean, when I saw the beard, you know, like there was no doubt in my mind, you know. I was like, oh, he's going down. You know, I got up there and I was like, oh. You know, I wasn't disappointed, like I said. But, you know, yeah. I'm sure the more I do it, the better I'll get at seeing what's what and all that. But, I mean. You know, there was no doubt in my mind when I saw it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I had a bird that fooled me really bad. I glassed him in the field for 20 minutes. And I mean, and now there is a very strong possibility that made a move around the backside of the trash pile that there was actually a full fan mature tom there. And I didn't see, like, I was looking at the tom. And then when I switched around and started calling, the Jake, the super Jake, was 10 foot from him, and I just didn't see him, and he's the one who came in, so there is a possibility that they switched. But I had a buddy with me that had never killed a turkey, and we glassed this turkey. Listen, I watched him gobble. I thought his fan was as full as it gets. Made that move and set up with a little strutter, and as soon as I hit the call, he started gobbling, and for sure the Super Jake had a perfect gobble because I watched him gobble at 20 yards. And he crawled under a fence, and I went back later, and I couldn't find anything where he went under the fence except for an armadillo hole. And I swear the turkey like crawled underneath that armadillo hole. But he came right to the decoy, like 9 steps, and my buddy's like, "It's a Jake." I'm like, "Dude, he's got beard rot. Shoot that turkey. He's got a full gobble. I mean, he's white, came in white-headed. He was strutting. I'm like, shoot that turkey, man. He's just got beard rot. Shoot him." And it was just a two-year-old, but he was a Super Jake, man. Had a perfect gobble, and this was a Good Friday, so it wasn't super late in the season at that time. I think we had a couple weeks left, but he had a phenomenal gobble, and he was for sure not a two-year-old turkey.
Yeah.
So you can't even tell, man.
It is crazy.
It's like kids in middle school. Whenever I was in middle school, there was like one guy that had a beard. Now they pretty much all have beards. So you can't tell in 2022, man.
I know, man. It's a different world.
For sure.
Oh, man. But
got a little off topic there, I guess, but
yeah, it happens. But no, it's all good. And I think most people have a little bit of common sense about it, and there's a fair share of issues in the turkey hunting world, but I'm not going out trying to mow down every Jake I see, but I'm also not gonna apologize if I abide by the rules I need to and all that good stuff. So anyway,
for sure, for what that's worth. Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I'm 99% anti-killing a Jake, to the point to where probably a dumb idea, but I checked. I have a little farm that I can hunt by my house, and I check the cameras. I'm big on – I check my cameras at like 4 in the morning just because I get up to build turkey calls and – I'm like, well, I better go check it now. So I'll go in there dark and check them. And because, if I check it at 4 and I had a gobbler that flew up, then I'm like, oh, well, I can be a little late to work, because he's going to land at my feet. I know where he's going to land. That's my excuse for checking him early. But but I had a Jake, and he was like a 6-inch beard, 5 or 6-inch beard, tiny, tiny little turkey. But nevertheless, legal turkey that I should have let my 5-year-old shoot, but he roosted right there. I know he was going to hit the ground right there as soon as it got daylight, and I didn't take him there. I took him to the club to try to kill one of those bigger turkeys, just because yes, he's 5, he's killed 1 turkey. I need to let him, if he has the opportunity to tag out on a legal turkey, go right ahead. I was like, but I just can't knowingly set him up on a Jake when I have bigger birds to hunt, so it was a battle for like an hour, literally an hour. I'm like, oh man, I should just take them there, let them tag out, let them get that experience of shooting another turkey or having the opportunity to shoot another turkey, but I couldn't do it, man. Cause that is a farm that I can hunt next year, So I know that's one more, mature turkey that'll be there next year. So I don't know. It was kind of, mixed emotions, but we went to the club and didn't hear a turkey. So,
no either doubt, but lived. It's true too. The most or the more information you have, that allows you to make, decisions like that. Whereas depending on your situation, either by, choice or by necessity, you might be hunting public spot or whatever, and you may not know what you're getting into, and you don't know. You don't know for sure that you've got X number of mature turkeys here and there and all that. Yep. So that's going to change your mindset.
Yeah. The way I look at like turkeys and why I haven't, shot a Jake, oh gosh, I don't even 15 years or probably more since I've, and even then it was probably an accident. If I, you know, if I shot one or whatever, but it's just because, like, 2 years old, you know, he's as mature, fun, and gobbles and struts and acts like he's supposed to. I mean, that's just 2 years. That's pretty quick, you know. So you pass him as a little Jake this year. Next year, he's going to be putting on a show. He's going to be, you know, doing his thing.
Yep. It makes it interesting for sure. Like, kind of like you were saying, you're going back and forth with your son, not trying to decide whether or not to go after it or just leave it, and ultimately decided to let him go a year.
Yeah. But, like, it's whatever makes you happy. That's the biggest thing that I go after, is if it makes you happy, legal, shoot it, man. Like, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about the whole, I mean, I'm looking at a couple beards right here now that the skin's turned loose and all the hair's falling out onto my turkey call bench. So it's like, wow, yeah, I've shot that mature bird for what reason? Because now his beard's disintegrated, and it, like, you know, it doesn't matter if it makes you happy and he's only got 4 inches or it's, you know, 10 inches. One day the thing's going to fall apart and all you're going to have is a memory anyway. So that's all that matters.
Yep. That's a good point. That's a good point. Speaking of, you know, the memories, you know, you video, you know, your hunts and other people's hunts and all that stuff. And, is pretty much all of that going to be either already or going to be available on the Mossy Oak Go, or?
Yeah, so we've got, I can't remember how many episodes we have up on Mossy Oak Go app right now. We were able to get a few of them on the live series, and then we still have, man, I'm not even sure how many videos we have left. I know I still have at least 2 from Jacob that I haven't gotten from him. He had some phenomenal footage on some kids from the Seamark Ranch. 2 of them killed 2 good birds. Nice. But yeah, so we'll have pretty much everything will be on the Mossy Oak Go app and our YouTube channel, at the Part Timers Hunting YouTube channel. So we're going to have a pretty good bit of footage to roll over for next year. I think I'm gonna end up saving like 4 or 5 videos, and then we'll start airing them probably like February or so next year. It was just, it was probably the best year. I mean, as far as getting to meet cool people, filming turkeys, it was definitely my best year as far as filming turkeys with good footage, turkeys acting right, and, you know, when we could get on turkeys, they acted perfect and we killed them. I think I had 6 or 7 kills. 2 of them were not the best, but it was like some, you know, gobbling action for 2.5-3 hours, and then they pop up in 5 seconds, and they doubled up. But everything else was just, you know, for me, really, really good footage. So I was very blessed with that. And I know Jacob had probably 10 or 12 hunts on camera. And then Bubba had a pretty rough year. He had his the old Wiley gobbler that he was after last year. He's just Houdini, man. He doesn't gobble. He likes to just pop up. I'm trying to think of that commercial where the dude just stands up in the background. I can't think of it, but he'll just be calling, and he'll look up, and he'll be 20 yards standing there looking at him and just back off into the bushes.
Oh, my goodness.
He had his bow like last weekend. Like, man, you should have took your gun. He's like, tell me about it. He popped up at 30 yards on my off shoulder, and I couldn't shoot him. If I'd have had the shotgun, I could have killed him.
Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah. I know he had a rough year.
Yeah, that would drive you nuts. But, man, going after him with your bow, that's really, really adding to the challenge to me anyway.
Oh, dude, yeah, especially filming, too, and especially – killing them with a bow is hard in itself. Killing them with a bow while you're self-filming is super hard. And then killing them with a bow while you're self-filming with a Sony A7 III with a zoom lens, like, it's pretty much hashtag impossible.
Yeah.
But boy, what a challenge if it, you know, if it works out. That's a peacock feather in your hat right there, man. If you do kill one with it like that.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. More power to guys going after that and getting, you know, especially getting that done. That's definitely respect that. That's fantastic.
Yep. I wanted to do it for about 2 seconds. I'm like, nah. if I could get Knox on that, because I said at the beginning of the season, because Bubba was like, all right, we're going to take the bows on, you know, whatever day. I'm like, nah. Knox would have to tag out. I would have to film 3 or 4 other people, you know, with some good hunts. And I'd have to kill one and then go to Georgia and maybe kill one. And then I would probably think about taking it.
Right. Everything would have to be lined up.
I've done it. I've done it before. And it's, you know, it's awesome. I'm definitely not knocking anybody who wants to do it, because it is a phenomenal challenge and it's a cool feeling. But just right now in my time in my life, I just want to blast him with that shotgun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that turkey I killed this year was my second ever. And you know, I killed my first one, I think it was 3 years ago. And so yeah, I'm trying to get a few under my belt before I go to doing all kinds of stuff with my bow and all that.
For sure, man. For sure. I don't blame you.
Well, man, this year I was extremely happy to use a couple of your turkey calls, man, the head busted calls. I think they sounded good. I probably wasn't running them quite right, but, you know, I was trying. And they definitely look pretty. You did a really cool custom one for me with my podcast logo in it, and then you sent me that slate one as well. So I was definitely happy. I used both of them throughout the year, and I mostly used the slate one trying to get that turkey that I killed to come in. So anyway, I appreciate you making a few calls for me, and I know you said you've got some orders and stuff coming in, so you want to talk a little bit about calls, you know, either, you know, guys who've, you know, had success with them this year, or you know, obviously pointing people in the direction of your website or wherever to get one for themselves.
Yeah, man, it was a pretty cool year this year. I personally ran a call that's a new call. I kind of came out with it last year. I guess I tested it last year. I call it the Spanky Johnson call. I named it after my cousin, grew up, Mike. He's pretty much like my brother. His nickname, we called him Spanky Johnson, and he had an old aluminum call that had like broke, and I took the aluminum out of it, and I kind of tweaked some dimensions on the call that I, you know, have been making for a while, and it's just a go getter, man. So anyways, I named it the Spanky Johnson. So I started selling it this year. I didn't put it on the website because I had intentions of making a really cool video and nice cinematic video of me making it to kind of announce it. And I got busy trying to get, you know, my birds in order and scouted and blind set up for Knox that I just didn't put the video out. But that call, I think probably 6 or 8 people had it this year, and they really liked it, especially the stoned aluminum version of it. It comes in Osage, Paduk, or Walnut, and I do have a little bit of Ambrosia maple, but man, I had a guy in Indiana that was actually hunting with Aaron Warbritton for a couple of days, and they had worked a bird over, and he was really tough, high pressure bird, and finally the last morning, Zach was there. He struck him with that aluminum call, and I don't know, he like struck a nerve when he hit him with it, and that just kept him fired up, and he was able to. He ended up having to crawl a pretty good ways to get over the ridge and kill him, but he said that thing got him fired up. So that seemed to be the top call this year so far. Very cool. From kind of what I've gathered. And I run the Spanky Johnson call, but with a glass playing surface this year. That's what I had, and it did really well. I think pretty much every bird that I got to either film, or either the bird that I killed or Knox killed, was worked over a little bit with it. So very pleased with that one. hopefully get it on the website here pretty soon. But they can go to www.headbustaturkeycalls.com. And if somebody's listening and they do want to try a Spanky Johnson call, you can just, in the note section of any wood choice, you can just write, I want a Spanky Johnson call. And gotcha. I will see that and can hook them up with it.
Cool, man. That's awesome. I love, you know, I told you before, I've done like, you know, a little bit of like amateur type woodworking stuff. So like the call building really like fascinates me, you know, but I know it can be, it can drive you as crazy as a turkey, it sounds like sometimes, trying to get it tuned up.
It can for sure. I haven't built quite as many calls this year, late in the season, like I normally have. I think most of the local guys have kind of already, you know, they've got pretty much every model that I've made, so, which has been fine because I've been trying to edit a bunch of videos for the part-timers and trying to get stuff like that. But here in the last couple of days, I've been back in here kicking the wood chips around and trying to get some back in stock again. I'm not quite ready to be done messing with them, but it is nice to have a little bit of a break for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's fun, but a little break in there doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. For sure. Well, I appreciate you kind of giving me a rundown of your season and some of the things, some of the highlights at least, and telling about the new call there and everything. If there's anything I missed or anywhere you want to point people, feel free to jump in on anything now, man.
Yeah, just if I would greatly appreciate it. I know Bubba Jacob and myself would greatly appreciate it if y'all head over to the Part Timers Hunting Instagram, Facebook, give us a like, a follow, then the YouTube channel, and we're on the Mossy Oak Go app. So any support is much appreciated. We're having a good time filming and hunting and just enjoying it, man, being a part-timer.
Yep, absolutely. And I can definitely vouch for y'all that it's good stuff, good video, good family-friendly hunting fun. And I think just about all of us can identify with the part-timer aspect of it for sure.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. We appreciate your support and always helping us share pages, and hopefully Instagram will get its act right and everybody will quit losing content and or whatnot and get back after it.
Yeah, no doubt. Hopefully that'll kind of pass and we can keep spreading the word, keep putting the good stuff out there. So I appreciate you coming on this evening, man. Appreciate the turkey season recap, and I'm sure we'll get together again maybe as deer season approaches or something like that. And there's always good hunting stuff to talk about, man.
For sure. Yeah. I'll be getting ready to. I'll probably take a couple weeks off after these few orders, and then I'll be getting geared back up to start making grunt calls again. So it'll be here before you know it.
Yes, sir. And I grunted in my buck with one of your calls last year, so I can vouch for those too.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad you got to grunt up an antler buck with it, because I sure didn't.
Yeah, but me too, man.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you having me on, man. Have a good night.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. I really appreciate Ernie coming on, and I really appreciate y'all for listening today. Whether you're a guy who's been hunting for 50 years, or if you've been hunting for 5 years, or if you haven't been out yet and you're just interested in it and listening in today, one thing that kind of ties us together is that we want to be hunting, and we want to be out there, and Hopefully you've had a good turkey season. If you're closed out where you are, like it is here, and I believe in Georgia and several other southeastern states, you know, hope you're starting to peek ahead to deer season, see what you got to do for some food plots or scouting or just taking a little break, whatever you're up to. Hope it goes well for you, and appreciate you listening in and supporting. We really appreciate it. Hope everybody has a great week, and thanks again to Ernie for coming on. I enjoyed that conversation, enjoyed hearing those stories. I always love talking hunting. That's why we do the podcast. So we appreciate it. And as always, honor God, work hard, have fun, and keep hunting.